This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
We're back. Stephen Perry, President and CEO of New Orleans & Company, joins us. We'll discuss the current state of tourism, phase one restrictions, and a lot of the difficult issues that this hospitality and tourism industry faces, not only here, but across the country as well. Stephen Perry, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Neil. Good to talk to you again.
It's been a while. We haven't talked since last year. That sounds like even longer, doesn't it?
I know. Well, this has become a surreal blur, hasn't it, in a way?
Yes, it has. I keep pinching myself, hoping to wake up soon.
No, that's exactly right. Well, I think a lot of us just want this time back as well.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt. You know, I have a granddaughter, and as I watch her, I just really feel bad for the young kids in so many different ways. Their world has been just turned topsy-turvy. But in the end, I keep reminding myself they're probably a lot more resilient than you and I, Stephen.
Oh, they totally are. But, you know, a funny byproduct of this, Newell, has been in my company, I have a lot of younger people working that have small children. And with with everyone home this past year, those families who love their kids more than anything, there was a point at which it was everybody needed a break. Parents from kids, kids from parents. You know, it's very hard when everybody's cooped up for this amount of time.
Well, I'm almost embarrassed to say this, but I will. There were points at times in my career and in child rearing where, you know, some ages are more difficult than others, where I would say that I go to work to relax.
That's exactly right. I think that's gone on all over the country.
No, absolutely. You guys have been busy trying to hold this together, continuing to market this area, continuing to try and highlight the differences in what we have to offer as opposed to our competitor cities across the Gulf South in this country and internationally as well. How is that going? What's the attitude like? I mean, I know in many respects there's so many just depressing pieces of news that are coming your way every day.
Well, we've had a marked change in our approach to marketing and communication since the early part of December when we began to see the post-Thanksgiving spike. One of the things that has really happened is that people are just not responsive as much to advertising and marketing right now. Most of what we're doing is using social media. It's using our website. We're not running any broadcast ads, for example, right now. And the reason is that people have just almost put the brakes on with travel right now. You know, over the holidays, they decided to make one trip, and that trip was home. And you saw a lot of people in the United States. We had very, very high numbers, higher than Thanksgiving, that went home at Christmas. But other than that, what we clearly see is an absolute, almost precipitous fall off in immediate and mid-stage hotel reservations. They just plummeted for January. In fact, we lost an awful high percentage of our reservations on the books. And people right now are saying, in fact, we've got a study showing that 44% of the American people have said they have decided not to travel until they get their vaccine. So with that, we are reliant really upon our regional audience that we are still going after. But the thing that's hurt that, of course, has been the level of restrictions. And Newell, with the restrictions we have right now, which are, of course, stronger in New Orleans than in the other part of the state, as relates to music clubs, as relates to the reduction in restaurants, but especially, you know, in-bar service, for example, it really makes it harder, and it reinforces to people, maybe you should, you know, I got to tell you, they are hitting the pause button right now. So a lot of what we're doing is getting planned for the months after. Newell, something is occurring right now that I think is really, really important to watch. America has fumbled the ball on the vaccine. They've done a good job in, I think, getting an initial round of doses, but we're having trouble getting the vaccine into arms. We've been seeing it here in Louisiana. We're seeing it in other parts of the country. I'm going to put, you know, the obvious key is, of course, the public health impact of that. But there's a secondary impact. And that secondary impact is that it is pushing a return to normalcy in tourism-reliant cities back, maybe another 2 months, maybe longer. So we had really expected to be able to launch a beautiful new marketing campaign right around the end of January, beginning of February. It is very unlikely we're going to do that now. We're going to have to hold it a little bit, and we're in the process of rethinking how we do it, when we launch, and we were hoping to see a real beginnings of travel in early part of Q2. But Newell, I think it's with how long it's taking with a vaccine, it's going to push more towards summer.
You know, I thought all along that this was going to be a logistical challenge at best, unprecedented, not ever done in this country before. There are those that are saying the federal government should have taken a more prominent role. But the fact of the matter is that's not how this republic is set up. I mean, most of the rights and privileges are reserved to the states and the manner in which we do this. And when you think about the political differences amongst all of the states, and then we are reliant upon that travel from other states here, it's got to be frustrating for you guys because it's so much bigger than just what we do here. I mean, it's really kind of reliant on what everyone does somewhere else.
Well, that is, I think that's the frustration for all of us. You know, it's something that's beyond our control. But Newell, the United States has got the greatest infrastructure and is the most logistically advanced nation in the world. We just have not brought all of the pieces of this together. I don't know if you're old enough to remember. I mean, I am. When I was a child, every one of us was vaccinated for polio.
Yep,
and I can still remember being in elementary school, getting vaccinated at school, in the school cafeteria. You know, and I remember how quickly that rolled out all over the country. The problem we're having right now is we didn't use the Defense Manufacturing Act to get the COVID vaccines in production as quickly as we could, like we did with PPP equipment. And the other is we've been a little confused on getting vaccines delivered and then immediately applied. And I don't know if this breakdown has come through the use of pharmacies, which we're using as kind of a wholesale clearinghouse to get vaccines to nursing homes. I mean, frankly, what I would love to see, Newell, I would love to see the greatest emphasis on, we should not be having right now a national discussion on whether or not we should be having to pull the second dosages for the early round and utilize those for the first inoculations for people. That shouldn't be happening. I mean, I think I would love to see us with a strategy where maybe our convention center could be used. maybe the hospitals could be used at a higher level than they are. We just haven't quite gotten. I mean, you pointed it out. There are a lot of moving parts on this, but I think we could do it better, and I'm hoping that the coming weeks are going to show an acceleration.
There was some exciting news the other day. Moderna announces that they believe the efficacy of their vaccine will last for a year. That goes a long way towards what you're discussing here, trying to accomplish for sure. Having said that, though, I've been watching what Governor Cuomo in New York and Bill de Blasio have been doing, because tourism is every bit as important to that city, that state, as it is here
right.
in New Orleans and the state of Louisiana. And for some reason or another, it seems as though Cuomo had an epiphany in the last several days, and he's realizing that the lockdowns haven't worked and his economy is in a shambles and it may not recover. And for the first time, when listening to him, I hear fear in his voice. Your thoughts?
Well, I can tell you from talking to my counterpart in New York City and from others there, they are actually scared. I mean, you've got the business capital of the world that it has been affected to a degree that is staggering. It's affecting real estate. It's affecting everyday commerce. But business travel in and out of New York is such a multi-billion dollar industry. And what people have not realized is that the restrictions on restaurants, for example, combined with the slowdown of commerce, has threatened the entire economy and economic base and small business base of New York City. And the problem, Newell, our industry is the most advanced right now outside of healthcare in the country in safety protocols. What we are so, I guess, frustrated about is that most of the restrictions, particularly regarding restaurants, and this applies to New Orleans and it applies to New York and all the other cities, but especially us two, is the fact that everyone's been saying we're going to follow the science. We're going to follow the science. Well, the reality is that the studies in New York have shown that restaurant-related transmission is only like 1.7% of the entire picture. Most of it is because of failed personal responsibility in the way that we interact in groups and parties. I mean, look, I was happy an SEC team won the NCAA championship the other night, Alabama, and beating Ohio State. But the scenes from Tuscaloosa, they sent shivers up my spine, seeing mm-hmm. thousands of young people in the streets packed 6 inches apart, screaming and whooping and hollering and celebrating, and not a mask in sight. So I think we have been our own worst enemy. And at the end of the day, when you combine that with the restrictions on restaurants, which are really not even scientifically valid, in our opinion, we have economic disaster looming. And if we had not gotten, Newell, if we had not gotten this next round of PPP for our restaurants, I think you would have seen cascading failures left and right. But all it's done is really postponed that reckoning day. And New York, which has been closed even longer than we have, Newell, they're seeing it right now.
As I look across, we've had another announcement of another restaurant that's closing permanently here in the city just the other day. I mean, then a number of them, I'm sure we're not even hearing about at all. Your gut right now is to, by the spring of 2021, how many restaurants would we have lost as a result of the pandemic?
Well, the Louisiana Restaurant Association and we have together estimated that if we don't get a significant change and the ability to get customers back, you're looking at having lost 35% to 40% of our restaurants by summer. That's a staggering number. And they're not, you know, we're not talking about all of the famous restaurants. Yes, they're being damaged and they're being hurt tremendously. but they've, you know, they've been pivoting in different ways that has bought them some time. But I can tell you, for small restaurants that don't have the capital, when you go to 25% seating capacity, you simply have no way in a narrow margin business to survive. And especially, I guess it just worries us so much because it has an effect not only on small business people and their life savings, which is the core of employment in America, but the second phase of this is actually employment. We've still got 30,000+ people out of work. And what's worried us so much over this, what's happened the last week or so, is that so many of the people in the restaurant industry that have been rehired over early December, November, end of October, I don't know how long they're going to be able to keep them going because the volumes just are not there, and especially in a visitor-based city. One thing New Orleanians are doing, though, is they're going to their neighborhood restaurants, and they're faring better, and they are doing takeout and pickup. But we've got to keep doing this to keep people on. But is it survivable at this 25% rate that we think has been a bar that we think has been set far too low? Newell, they're not going to make it. And in New Orleans, it could be the death knell for a lot of our friends.
Yeah, and I mean, it's interesting to see just how long they're going to keep this going. You know, at that modified phase, the uncertainty of that. I guess it gets hard for a business owner to really reinvest, borrow more money, try and keep things afloat when you can't predict out a year or 2 years, much less 6 weeks right now.
No, and especially because a lot of small business owners have their homes mortgaged and tied up into their business, you know, as part of their initial capital, and it's really, really difficult for them. Newell, the way to get the economy open the fastest is a combination of two or three things. Get the vaccine produced and get it distributed and into the arms of people all over the country. That's going to absolutely reduce the level of infections and give people the ability, the confidence to go back out and to socialize and do things. And the second part is simply to, on areas where you don't have evidence that the transmission is occurring, because even government leaders have said, look, we know it's occurring mostly on the private level with mixed households getting together at home and at parties and in functions. And look, the reality is church, one of the most sacred things that we do. But restaurants have just not been shown, and I to be real proximate causes in this. You know how we know that, Newell? We know it because if we were having outbreaks related to restaurants, the employees would be telling us every day.
Right.
And that's not happening.
No, I mean, that's what I've heard from a lot of folks as well. I want to believe, I want to have faith in the decision-making process that's out there because I think it's critical. But at the same time, I think we're staring the obvious in the face sometimes and walking right around it. We'll be right back. If you have a question for Stephen Perry, 504-260-1870 on the WWL Talk and Text line. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us. We're back. We're talking to Stephen Perry, President and CEO of New Orleans & Company. Stephen, it seems to me that you guys have a very difficult challenge decision in the very near future in trying to figure out where that tipping point is, where there is this comfort that is reached amongst the masses in this country and internationally as well, that there's going to be a willingness to travel. And do you suspect that that's going to come in drips and drabs, or is it going to be just pent up demand where, I mean, it could just go hog wild crazy?
Well, we've talked about some of the negatives thus far this morning, but I got to tell you, I'm still optimistic in the long run, because travel has become such a part of everyone's life now. Everyone loves to travel that has any means to do it, whether it's short travel or long travel. And I think the pent-up demand is going to be the greatest that we have ever seen. Now, that is going to – is it going to come in drips and drabs? I don't think it's going to be quite like that. I think over the next few months, Newell, it will be, because I think you've got the competing forces of not quite getting enough vaccinations into the arms of people, and there being a lot of restrictions reducing the attractiveness of going certain places. But I think it's going to come in waves. One that we're already seeing is people are going to beaches. They're going to national parks. They're doing outdoor things. As we go through, if we get this right, and I've just got to believe that America's going to get this vaccination enterprise right over the next 5-6 months, I think you're going to see an actual just pouring out of people traveling this summer. And one thing that's going to have to come with that is we're going to have to stay socially responsible in terms of distancing and so forth as we go through it, because we know we're still going to have, I would estimate, at least 30% or more of the population not vaccinated by the summer. But what's going to come first when you look at it in terms of order? It's going to be leisure travel. The individual decisions of households and couples and people and friends to get out and go is going to start coming this summer. Business travel is going to be a little bit slower. We haven't seen a lot of change in the corporate travel policies of companies that basically shut down all but the most necessary travel in 2020. And the other that's going to be slower to come back, that is of huge importance to New Orleans as one of the top six convention cities, is going to be, what does this new iteration of meetings look like? How are we going to evolve? And that's why right now we are positioning ourselves to be the safest place in the country to have a meeting, whether it be a small meeting in one of our hotel properties that have developed the right protocols, or in our center, which has got this diamond certification as a safe meeting place. So we are optimistic, but I think our world is going to have really changed in the short term. And I think before we see it being normal again, what we would look at is normal, or have that appearance or feel of normal, I think it's going to be probably into 24. But that doesn't mean people are not going to start traveling, because Newell, they are sick of being tied down. They are ready to go. And I think this summer we're going to see it burst out.
I could tell you my personal experience, probably over the summer and even as late as New Year's Eve, traveled to Florida. Florida at New Year's Eve looked like the July 4th weekend. I have never seen so much traffic in my life in Florida. Could not get a reservation. Those that you had to put a name, you know, your name in, and they'd notify you, 3 to 4 hour waits in the restaurants, mostly families with their kids. It was too cold to go to the beach. It rained most of the time, but they were there still.
You're absolutely right.
They were
Florida,
out.
Of course.
You couldn't rent a piece of property where we went. It was full, sold out.
No, and we're seeing this in hotel complexes and resort complexes. If you are near the beach, or you are near national parks, you are going to sell out, because people are going. And of course, Florida, you know, the panhandle in particular for New Orleanians has been like, it's really the first place to go. I mean, you think remember, we've all been going down there as kids, and right. And it's so close. You know, you're talking about whether it's three and a half hours to Gulf Shores, or on down even farther, Grayton Beach, Watercolor, Rosemary Beach, etc. It doesn't matter. It's a preferred place for New Orleanians to let off steam and go have fun. And when you combine that, because the most important thing is you can drive there. You don't have to fly. And when you have the ability to go where you have the opportunity, even though you got rain at New, you know, over New Year's and it messed up some of it, the beaches can be really fun in the winter, and people go there. But the other thing is the restrictions on restaurants are dramatically different than New Orleans and in Louisiana. And as a result, there have been more things to do. The restaurant communities have done extremely well. So it's, look, it's just the way it is. And we just got to hope that the urban destinations like we are, like New York is, like Chicago is, are going to have an opportunity to break out like our friends that have outside attractions.
What is the most difficult thing you think, unique to the city, unique to the manner in which it's been handled, for you to overcome from a public relations standpoint?
Well, the hard thing is that New Orleans, to be successful, has got to have that sort of that tripod, or even more than three legs of the travel and entertainment industry. What is killing us is we feel like we haven't been smart enough about how to open music clubs and to give an opportunity for our musicians to play, to work. It was a little frustrating seeing at a couple of big political events with elected officials the last week or so, brass bands being used, and yet they won't allow them to be used in our places. So I think we have to have a strategy to get the music industry back. The clubs are a critical part of the New Orleans experience. The other is feeling like you've got the ability to get into a restaurant, because food is every. When you think of food and music, it's what we are. But the other thing, and the thing that's really hard for us, is remember, Newell, so many of the things that we are known for, the celebrations, they're around festivals, and they're outdoor. Yet right now we don't have the ability to bring those back. And I think that's prudent. The timing's got to be right, but we have got to be able to bring our festivals, because they are small and large, but they are where a lot of people congregate. And then when you add on top of that, the sporting events, remember this year, the NCAA just announced that Final Four, all of the playoff games from all of those regional sites are going to be done in Indianapolis in the same kind of bubble like the NBA did in Orlando. But the following year, 22, the breakout is going to be New Orleans. That is when the Final Four is coming back. And I think that has an has a possibility, because that's only a week from this April. I mean, a year from this April. I think it's got the possibility of being the first major, quote unquote, normal special event to unfold in America in the sporting world. Because I don't know if you've heard a lot about how the NFL is doing Super Bowl this year in Tampa, but there are basically no functions.
Yeah,
none of the things that are attendant to Super Bowl are going to occur. I think people are going to go. Those that go are going to go and play golf and then go to the game.
Well, unless the Saints make it in, because we can find a party just about anywhere.
We would have to make our own socially distant, appropriate party. But I will tell you, if Drew keeps going. And I know everybody in this city is like holding their breath every game, because no one wants to see him play his last game. Right. You know, Newell, have you ever seen someone that's so matched with a city from that athletic perspective of being a person who came at the right moment and just coming from afar, a Texan that went to school up north and then went to Southern California and came here, he became about as beloved a figure as I think we'll ever have.
No doubt. I mean, has become a great ambassador for this area on so many different fronts. You know, a lot of the caustic nature of what's going on in our world today has diminished the product in some respects, and it's a shame. And it'll also be a shame if we end up winning the Super Bowl this year that it's, you know, amongst this landscape of so many challenges. We'll be right back for Stephen Perry's final comments. Stay with us, folks. Stephen Perry, President and CEO of New Orleans and Company. Folks, they're the ones that are minding the store on tourism, promoting this city and the metropolitan area, the state of Louisiana as well. Stephen, I noticed the cruise industry the other day issued another press release delaying their comeback as well, going to be beyond the second quarter of 2021.
Yeah, and the cruise industry is really important to us. I mean, a lot of people associate it with Florida, but it really matters here and creates a lot. I don't know if the locals are even aware of this, Newell, but we have the highest percentage of people who take a cruise come to our destination to stay two nights before and two nights after. They just love New Orleans, and that's one reason the cruise industry has worked so well from here. But the reality is, because of the nature of cruising and because of some of the issues that they have had with transmission in the past, it's just going to be pushed back. And I think whether or not it gets pushed back again is going to depend on the rate of the vaccine getting into people's arms. I was listening to a phenomenal man from St. Aug is the CEO of Carnival Cruise Lines, and he was on CNBC yesterday talking about, yes, they're going to have some difficulty, but Arnold Donald, but at the same time, what we're seeing in 22 is we're seeing cruise line reservations going through the roof. So at the end of the day, I've got to tell you, I'm still optimistic. And for us, we are preserving every one of the limited dollars we have right now to be able to relaunch. We've got an incredible new advertising campaign in the can. We are doing everything possible on social media and through the platforms that are getting people to go to travel. We are focusing on our regional audience right now. But when the time is right, I will tell you, we're prepared. We're ready. We've been talking to every convention customer that we have ever had, building relationships, getting ready to start booking them again. So, despite the doom and gloom, I've just got to believe that Americans are ready to break out. And I know our industry is. We just need one thing, Noel. We need a bridge to survival. And that comes with this government help like PPP. It comes with getting the vaccinations done. And it comes with not having restrictions so tight that you strangle your economy that's trying to get a last gasp. Or forcing a last gasp. And so, we can do this. We've got the ability to do this.
Stephen, let me ask you this, and it occurred to me while I was reading about three or four different articles on the cruise industry. They have taken this opportunity to remove some of their older inventory ships out of their inventory and sent them to salvage yards, so much so it's hard to even get a ship into a salvage yard right now, according to one article I read. There is concern, though, that the expectation of the traveling public is going to be far greater than ever before as it relates to the niceties, the offerings, the entertainment on the boats, the quality of the rooms, so forth and so on. Although they have this pent-up demand, a lot of what they're seeing on the internet with new style ships and as they're looking at the offerings, and does that present a challenge for New Orleans? Because they'll have reduced number of ships available, and are we going to be able to hold on to the queue that we have now with all of these cruise industry companies?
Newell, we are really optimistic that we will. because although I can't go into any details, we've actually been in discussions about expansion of where we are now. And you're always in business. You're looking at today and the immediate future, but you're always planning strategically and long term. And I think the experience of cruising and by the way, Newell, I don't know if you know this, the people that take cruises are a hardcore pro cruise group.
Oh yeah,
they love it with a passion. And so I think as soon as they're allowed, you're going to see them packing boats again. So I think that industry is going to do well. And you know what? Businesses do a great job of using downtime. I know I'm seeing this in a lot of our hotels. I've seen it in restaurants. When you are closed or greatly restricted, it's a perfect time to do your capital expenditure plans. So right. I think, I think there are going to be great expectations of people, of customers, but I think they're going to be incredibly met. And I think the sheer hospitality of New Orleans and the way that we embrace visitors when they come, look, when they start coming back in numbers, Newell, we are going to make them feel like $1 million, I can tell you.
It's going to be one party after the next for sure, no doubt about that. Stephen Perry, thank you so much for spending time with us today. We truly appreciate your insight, the information that you've given us. I know the listening audience does as well. Have a great week, my friend. We'll talk soon.
Take care. Be
safe. All righty, folks. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.